Have you ever been at a place where you needed something, whether it was more money to make something happen, or you needed some kind of strength physically to accomplish a feat, and you just didn't have what you needed at that moment? When you went to get the resource that the moment required, you didn't have it. There is one resource that you never have to run out of, and it is the most important resource that you can continually draw on and changes everything else. That resource is a leader's mind. Now, if you're just jumping in, some context real quick. I'm doing a series right now on the 12 skills, 12 learnable leadership skills that get you to the edge of your abilities and growing like crazy as a leader, affecting change in every part of your life. Some people are going through a year-long coaching program, and that's what these podcasts are serving. But if you're listening in, then you get to get the benefit of this recording and apply it to your life. So first skill I talked about was being audacious. Audacity. Audacity is the first skill of a leader because they believe they can help people's lives change. They can grow them. They can improve their lives by how they interact with them. So I taught you how to manage fast, 9 actions. Now, why am I talking about this second skill, which I've already introduced it to you as something being the foundational resource a leader draws on? Why didn't I do that one first? I could have done it first, but here's the thing. After you get in and try to make change happen, you try to change an initiative, change direction, it's hard. It's messy. You see that it's not easy. You can talk about one idea, but people hear it through the filter of their own fear. You're saying A, but they're hearing B. I mean, you see this in politics right now and in America. It's wild. So change isn't easy. And if you're going to be a leader at the edge of your abilities, this is the word I want to give you for today. If last week was audacious or audacity, the word this week is create. Leaders create. Now, I know when I say leaders create, there are a lot of people that are like, wait a second, no. There's like the creatives, and there's the department that makes stuff, and there's the people that make stuff, and then there's the leaders, and they're making the decisions, and they're cutting the budgets, and they're managing people and firing. And no, here's the reality that I want you to understand. Leadership, it's been sold so short recently. Leadership expressed in its most beautiful essence. It's Martin Luther King helping people get a vision for a reality that they had maybe never imagined or they didn't know they could get to. At JFK, we're going to go to the moon. See, that's what leaders do. They create reality. They help people go somewhere they never thought they could go or they never imagined they can go. And that's going to be difficult. It's going to require you to be able to access all of who you are, to draw on resources that you didn't even know were in you. It's going to necessitate the fact that if there is one flabby part in your mindset in creating a reality, it will be exposed. And so leaders create reality. That is the learnable skill. How are you going to be the kind of leader that continually creates reality? That whether it's, and it doesn't have to be these big sweeping things like Gandhi or JFK or MLK, it's in your meeting tomorrow. It's when the direction is headed in a way that you know is not going to be good. Not just that it's not going to be profitable, but it's going to make, it's going to be a poor expression of your brand, or it's going to be just being a bad human being. What does it look like for you to be able to create reality? And here's what I can tell you, that you will not know when the moment is coming, okay? There's not going to be flashing neon signs that say, hey, tomorrow the best will be required of you. You want to continually train your mindset so you're ready each moment. You're ready for what that moment needs to be. Now, when I talk about what it means to create reality, okay, and that the necessary habit for you is to continue to cultivate a resilient mindset so you're ready in the moment to create reality. There's a lot of people that misunderstand this. A lot of people think about it like hype and bravado, and I've just got to convince myself of believing something. This is why self-help motivation is a really gross industry and breaks down on many fronts, even though I'm in that field and do that work. But when I'm trying to just impose something externally on my internal wiring, it doesn't stick. It's like a New Year resolution. You make it, it doesn't actually lead to change. It doesn't actually become a loved habit in your life because you're trying to make something happen that isn't true to who you are. We don't want to do it that way. We want to cultivate a resilient mindset by learning what does our mindset look like when it's developed at its potential, and then how can we keep working it out, and that it's true to who we are and it's something we love. See, the cool part about life is you get to choose your philosophy. You get to choose your mindset. Most people haven't thought about their philosophy or their mindset, and I'm going to get you to think about yours today, and then you get to actively choose it. It's a really beautiful thing. So I'm going to run you through mine. I'm going to tell you how I got there and teach you how to make your own. So what I did over years was just collect insights that I had about myself. And I used to keep a spreadsheet journal entry. I think at one point I had like 800 entries. And then I worked to reduce those to big themes. And I kept just reducing it down and reducing it down and reducing it down. And even today, even though I have it very reduced down and concentrated and focused, I still add to it, take away from it, and advance my learning. And I'm going to share it with you because when I share these with people, they will take them and make them their own. And because, some of the stuff I've got, I've taken from others. But then I'm going to show you how you can also continually tweak it and customize it, okay? So I'm going to run you through the seven mindsets of a leader that take you to the edge of your abilities. And then I'm going to teach you how to work those out continually to shape your mind, make you strong as possible. So if a leader's going to create reality, he's going to have a resilient mindset. She's going to have a mindset that is truly unstoppable. And if a leader is going to create reality, and if he or she is going to cultivate a resilient mindset, then they're going to have to learn how to work that mindset out. So how do we work that mindset out? Here we go. Seven mindsets, seven realities of a resilient mindset for a leader. Number one, and I'll say these because that's how I think about them. I live in love from a secure identity. I live in love from a secure identity. So this is my Monday mindset. So on Mondays, I read that statement. And then what I do is I read this. And this just gets it in my brain so I can access it all day. Chris, feel your worth. Be yourself. You can't do anything wrong when you're in your identity space. Now, let me break this down for you real quick. One of the ways that you discover a mindset that's true to who you are and then actually make it a part of who you are is you've got to position yourself for an experience because your brain wires itself around the experiences you have. And if you don't position yourself for an experience, then it's just going to be like reading something on a card and trying to get it inside of you. That doesn't work. So this goes back to a lot of what I've shared with you up to this point about how you cultivate that resilient mindset. You imagine situations that you might be stressed about going bad, and you imagine them going good so that you know who you are and you can be secure in your identity even if you win or lose. See, you want to train yourself for success and train yourself for failure. You want to train yourself in failure, how to keep going, that you're secure in your identity regardless of what happens in mission or community. You want to train yourself for success, that when it goes great, you're not so high from that you get lazy and lose the sharpness of who you are. So what I do when I'm doing my Monday mindset, which is I live in love from a secure identity, I think about that. And I go to that space in my mind's eye, that imagination space, my identity space. And I go, okay, I can't do anything wrong here. I'm free. I'm loved. And what that does is that allows my brain to neurologically wire around that experience, okay, which upgrades my psychology, my mindset. That's what we're trying to do. So then on Mondays, I'll say this to myself, and I read this. Chris, if you try to find validation in anything today that can be lost or gained, then you'll navigate and lead in that area poorly. In other words, if I try to interact with my wife in a way that I've got to find validation from what she thinks of me, or if I look at my team and I say, I've got to find validation in what they think of me as a leader, I am now putting the responsibility for me feeling secure in who I am in their hands, and I will navigate and lead in that area poorly. Why? Because then I'm attached to their response. I can't make the best decision for what needs to be done, because if they're unhappy with me, then I'm going to change just so they can be happy. This will set you up to fail. On Mondays, I remind myself, and these are just little statements that I have, no self-hatred, Chris, or self-righteousness. Self-hatred is the hiding. Self-righteousness is the proving. I don't have to nurture my false self. I don't have to overindulge or attempt an outward excess to comfort internal pain. I can more fully enjoy simple pleasures and internal peace. Now, that would be helpful for any of you, just to read that and say that and feel that and experience that in your brain, to let your mind wire around it. Now, some of these are a little more specific to me, and these are important because I've seen a lot of leaders abuse their position and their role in such a way that they deceive so that they can keep people bought in and excited. So these are some other parts that I read on Monday. I am painstakingly accurate to avoid deception. I am careful with pressure to not manipulate. I embrace vulnerability rather than running for cover. Maybe you just need to think about that for yourself. Say that. I embrace vulnerability rather than running for cover. I have let go of the fear of failure and proving my worth. I have let go of avoiding failure to appear in the best possible light. I mean, this is why we don't attempt the things that are in us. We want people to think something about us, and we're afraid what they may think. So that's why I read these on Monday, to prepare me, to activate me. There is no pretense, deceit, or covered up inadequacies. I can say I failed, I was wrong, and I lied. I can say I don't know. I can say I need help. There's 1,001 reasons to lower my head today. I only need one to lift it. So when I read that on Mondays, what that does, every Monday reading that, that gets that inside of me, and I meditate on it, and I experience it, and I imagine it, and I think about it. It's that last phrase. There's 1,001 reasons to lower my head today. You're going to face 1,001 reasons to quit, to give up. You only need one to lift your head. And for me, the happiest thought that I can have is, I am secure in who I am apart from mission and community. That's the only reason. That's the only one reason I need to lift my head. I can keep going. I can be unstoppable. I can be resilient. Now, again, this is just Monday. And so by reading this every Monday, it exercises my mind, just like I would exercise my body at the gym. It reveals flabby parts in my thinking. And what I wish I could do is go through all 7 of these mindsets as thorough as I've just done that one. But there's just no way. This podcast would be so crazy long. I want to go a little bit of an overview for the other 6. And if you're going through the coaching, I'm going to give you a sheet that goes into them in a very thorough way so that you get that. If you're listening to this podcast and you would like to get them from me, shoot me an email. Go to chrismcallister.com, one of each letter in the last name, and just contact me through the website there. And let me know you'd like it, and I'll get it to you. But I want to run through these other 6. Before I do, I want to just check back in with you on the value of strengthening every part of your mindset. as you face challenges, it's going to be very normal for you to develop a philosophy or a mindset that says, you know, life is my enemy. That boss is my enemy. I'm a victim. This happened to me because of this situation. Look, I have been through crazy challenging circumstances from just facing obstacles on every turn, having to feel like I've got to make miracles happen, having been completely hosed and screwed over by people. And let me just tell you, I have to look in the mirror and say, Chris, it's you. Don't deny your reality. Don't be dominated by it. Go create a new reality. And the only person that's going to stop that from happening is you. Chris, life isn't your enemy. What's happened to you that's challenged you or some other person isn't your enemy. You will be your own worst enemy. John Truby, who helps screenwriters, you know, get their stories tight, says this: create an opponent who's exceptionally good at attacking your hero's greatest weakness. So when he's talking about creating the antagonist, what he trains people to do is to create an antagonist, an opponent, who's exceptionally good at attacking the hero's greatest weakness. This makes the story dynamic. Your story is dynamic. You are the hero. And when you look in the mirror, your exceptional antagonist is you. You are your own worst enemy. And it's not that you're actively having to be at war with yourself. There's a place that you can get in your growth and your health where that isn't happening. Most people live at that level, which is why they just numb out. Every time you're opposed that you would be your own worst enemy, this is a moment of change because it exposes the flabbiness of your mindset and where it needs to change. And so I want you to learn to apply these seven mindsets of a leader when it gets hard and when it gets lazy. And I've told you where mine came from. What you can do is take some of what I'm giving you today and start building your own. But for me, let's go back to it. Tuesday, I have faced my fear and found abundance. That's my Tuesday mindset. So this is what I meditate on. This is what I think about. A few of the things that I process in this moment is, hey, Chris, all your interpersonal reactions today are going to be a result of the fact that you have everything you already need within yourself. You have what you need to make the killer decisions you need. You have what you need to make the right moves. Now, all of this is a part of my mindset because, and I'm breaking it down for you, I don't necessarily read all of what I'm going into as commentary right now, but all of this, when I understand that I have faced my fear and found abundance, I'm going to face relational challenges today. And all my interpersonal interactions are going to reveal that if I get afraid or insecure, oh, there's something that person can give me that I need. No, I already have everything I need. This relaxes us so much, doesn't it? I mean, it's like we want to get you unblocked. If I'm angry, what am I really afraid of? If fear is in control of me, what am I protecting myself from? It's just a false threat to my identity. And so when we relax that we have found abundance in the midst of our fear, we can understand what it means to keep moving forward. So here's one of the phrases I read on Tuesday. Life is more 10,000 small choices that move me in a direction than the few epic big ones. Now, why is that on my Tuesday meditation? Because I have a tendency to think that, oh, it's the big things. No. Ryan Holiday in his book, The Obstacle is the Way, steps change things more than heroic strength. When you can recognize the weak points, it's just slowly moving it into a different direction. That's some of my paraphrasing and wording. Subtle, simple solutions are best, and depth beats breadth. So this is something I read, again, to activate my mindset for Tuesday. Your solution to the problem, Chris, isn't the full expression of your creativity unless it's simple and an unobstructed expression of who you are. So if I'm trying to solve a problem in a very complex way, no, that's not going to work. So on Tuesdays, I read that. When stuck, Chris, relax and play. It will come. Whoa. I mean, all of this just begins to be, it begins to seep into my mind in every way. It becomes a part of my philosophy. Here's one I've recently added for Tuesday. What part of me right now needs attention and understanding? What part of me do I think will slow me down? So one of the things that I teach, that I taught you in the 12-week coaching in week 7 is what it means to welcome all of you are to the table, to bring all of that. So one of the things that I realized recently is if the intense make it happen part of Chris is driving the table, and if that part isn't driving the table, I'm afraid it'll fall apart. It drowns out the part of Chris that says, hey, I can just let the right things come to me. I still go out there and work hard and make it happen. But if I do it from an insecure hustle standpoint, which is what so much of what people mean by hustle, I scare away the best clients because they're not attracted to that. It's like when you're in college, and I had somebody point this out to me, and I'm like, it's so true. When you're in college and you're dating someone and you can tell they just want to get married, you can just sniff that out. Well, that's not going to help me. I don't want to carry myself that way. I don't want to live that way. It creates anxiety. So I use the Tuesday mindset as saying, what part of me right now needs attention and understanding? What part of me is driving the table? I check in with myself. So that's Tuesday. Wednesday, here's Wednesday's mindset. I am here now. And so then I read this. My awareness of feelings today brings depth and honesty. I can experience multiple polar emotions, and these can pass and be momentary. I am not dominated or denying of my emotions, but I allow them to open up an appreciation for life and grow me. So when I read that on Tuesday, I am here now, and then I read that about feelings, it just keeps me checked in the rest of the day. I can see the failures. I can feel my pain. I can hear disappointment. I can accept troubles, sorrows, and defeats. I don't have to live outside of myself watching my performance. Instead, I can use what's going on to assist me and understand every challenge I face isn't an attack on my dignity. It's a removal of distraction. Dang, I need to think about that all day today. Nothing can threaten my dignity. I wish I could go more into Tuesday, but here's the thing. When you start shaping your mindset and thinking about it and actively working on it every day, you'll start to find these realities come out of you because they're the expression of you and you're just putting yourself into shape. So Wednesday's mindset, I am here now. When flow is gone, I embrace the next moment rather than forcing something or attempting to try to recreate some previous past exact moment. Let's go to Thursday. Thursday, the mindset for me is I am centered and focused. See, what it means for me to be centered is to not force anything. I don't have to push people into working with me or sight shift. They get pulled in through an engaging story. I get them hungry to hear. I don't have to worry about over or under communicating. I don't have to prove anything, so I don't have to say all I know. I can just be centered. And if I'm centered, it overflows to focused. So when I'm centered and I'm focused, I can be in the midst of a problem and understand that I'm separate from that problem. I can take creative action to solve it, and as I do, it's going to develop my perseverance. But when I'm centered and focused, I get to just be with people as they are. I don't have to fill the space with my power and presence and diminish them. I can fill it if I need to lead them, but I can also create vacuums that they fill so I can learn where they are and how to best help them. What I want to learn on Wednesdays is as I'm shaping my mindset and I'm working it out, where might I be focused and going after something, but doing it from an insecure standpoint and not centered? So Wednesday's meditation, Thursday's, I am centered and focused. So we've done Monday, we've done Tuesday, we've done Wednesday, we've done Thursday. Let's do Friday. Friday's huge. As I get prepared for the weekend, this is my meditation. I can't control what you think of me. Or I could say the mindset this way. I release what others think of me. So one of the things that I try to do each day is I visualize myself letting go of everything in mission and everything in community, everything in roles, everything in work, everything in relationships, because I don't have to carry anything from yesterday. I don't have to convince anybody of anything or make them think anything, and then I can pick up what's there. That keeps me really sharp even when I'm winning or when I'm feeling like there's a struggle. Part of what will help you really dial in on this Friday mindset of releasing what others think of you is understanding, and I meditate on this on Fridays, chaos and vulnerability actually help you grow. We avoid chaos and vulnerability because we don't want others to think bad of us. But if my mindset is I release what others think of me, then I can understand things can and will turn bad in an instant, in moments. Okay, almost nothing in life is as stable as you think it is. And if you approach it that way, then you can stay vigilant at all times. Vigilant rested, vigilant peaceful, vigilant relaxed, but still vigilant. And what happens for a lot of people is they're always trying to influence what others think of them. So they're not actually living from their mission and building their community. And, you know, it's huge for me just to say, I don't know. I love when somebody asks me something that I don't know to say out loud, I don't know. It does something for me to release this pressure that I would put on myself to always have the answer. So I want to release what others think of me. I want to be in a place that I can be attuned to them. If I'm releasing what others think of me, then I can feel, see, and hear them. I can be with them in such a way that I recognize if I'm turning something on in a role that I fulfill and I'm not being authentic, and there's nothing wrong with a persona that you may use from time to time. There's a time to be the leader, the sage, or the empath, and I'll break those down in a future leadership training. Awareness, though, if I've released control of what others think of me, I can be aware, and awareness lets me know when to employ the best me that I need to be in this role right now. And without awareness, I end up serving some image that I live up to. And I don't want to do that. So I release what others think of me. Saturday. My Saturday mindset is I throw the party I want to join. Or another way of saying it is my secure identity attracts the community I want to be a part of. Now, if you're going to throw a killer party with your life and build an incredible community, you've got to understand, and this is part of that mindset training for me on Saturday, you are not responsible for anyone but yourself. This is huge. Now, I'm accountable for others I'm in relationship with. As a husband, I'm accountable to perform in such a way that I am being a faithful husband or to take care of my wife. I'm accountable to be a good dad. You know, if I don't perform in some certain ways as a dad, the state steps in, you know, takes your kids away. But I'm not responsible for the choices my kids are making. Yes, within a certain degree. I mean, obviously, if they're a danger to themselves or community, I've got to step in and I've got to carry that responsibility. But what I'm talking about here is what blocks up a lot of healthy relationships is when I believe that I'm responsible for the behavior or thinking or choices of others, and you're just not. I'm not my kid's fixer, okay? And they can pop off without my overreaction because there's something there that needs to get out, and now we're going to work on that. Man, the same is true as a leader. If it's leading at home or leading your team, if you can know because of Tuesday's meditation, you faced your fear and found abundance, then you can throw the party you want to join. You can be in the team meeting. Somebody can pop off without your overreaction. You're not their fixer, but you can hear what's really going on. If you can accept them for where they are and for who they are and not lead them with shame or gifts with strings attached, then you can really help impact them. Too much hiding and proving happens in the spaces that we lead because we are conditioning people to give us a certain response. And so I want to learn to love without agenda. I want my focus to be on validating and investigating more than I try to stress over people's behavior or performance. Because if I can validate and investigate what's really going on, then I can unblock the healthy behavior and performance. So I want to think more about process-oriented learning. Hey, what are you going to do? How do you think that'll work out? Right? So I want to lead my community. I want to give to them, not just to get from them. So this is all a part of that Saturday meditation for me, throwing the party that I want to join. One of the things when I read Saturdays is it says, you know, Chris, as a habit, repeat what I'm hearing you say is. Now, why do I read that? Well, because part of me throwing the party I want to be a part of is understanding that to move anything forward, to stay engaged in relationships continually, fear happens to all of us. And so somebody can be communicating with me on Tuesday in a meeting or on Sunday in the kitchen. And because I continually read this, Chris, as a habit, repeat what I'm hearing you say is, my mind will access that in the moment and go, oh, don't just react here, Chris. Check in with them. And it'll come out of my mouth. I'll say, hey, what I'm hearing you say is, rather than me jumping into the fray with them, it's amazing how much your life changes when you are aware in the moment. It helps you lead. You create reality, right? You move the situation somewhere preferred, somewhere better, somewhere that could be and should be the reality. And when I read that, hey, Chris, as a habit, repeat what I'm hearing you say is, it gets in my mind to access it. Now, Sunday's mindset is, I stop self-sabotaging behaviors. And this is a way for me just to sharpen up that part of me that goes, Chris, you're never going to be done growing. You're always a student. And so with Sunday's mindset, then I'll have some stuff that I read under that. You know, one of them is, I build substance and structure so I can run with my inspirations. I read that as a challenge to myself because leaders get inspired and they want to go change the world, but they don't build substance and structure so they can sustain the work they want to do. A couple other things I'll share with you that I read from Sundays. World-class performers focus on eliminating mistakes in high-pressure situations and use the mistakes made for propulsion. Whoa. Yeah, world-class performers eliminate mistakes in high-pressure situations. They still make them, but they continually eliminate them. And then when they do make them, they use them to move the situation forward. So I get that in my mind. So when I'm in a moment and I make a mistake, that phrase will pop in my head. Here's one more I'll share with you from Sunday. I value deep recovery under pressure rather than trying to remove all pressure. Man, that's a good Sunday one. We think oftentimes that I'll reach a place in my leadership that I'll just have, I'll climb so high on the mountain that all the pressure will be gone. Nope. The more you move forward, the more you grow, the more that you can be under pressure or the more complex life gets. I mean, it's crazy. Now, I remember when I was 21 leading people and I wasn't married and I didn't have kids. Leading people, married, having kids, life doesn't become simpler in that way. It becomes more complex. And what a lot of people try to do is they trick themselves. So they ignore reality and they think that they'll just remove the pressure, or they will reach a point of so much power and influence that they won't have pressure. Nope. You just got to reframe the pressure. Reframe it. How? You know your identity is not tied up in what's happening. Ah, now you're relaxed and you can recover under the pressure. So I read that Sunday. It takes me back. Now, these seven mindsets are seven mindsets that will expose any flabbiness in your thinking. You can cultivate a resilient mindset. And the point of cultivating a resilient mindset is now you can create reality. You're not going to have neon signs that say, hey, get ready for this moment tomorrow. Some moment that's going to be there. It's going to be a small, subtle moment. It's not necessarily a big hype moment. You're not going to have neon signs today that say, this is how you get ready for that. You want to learn to continually show up ready for each moment of life, to be fully present. And like an athlete would train its body so that it's ready for wherever the play develops, you want to learn to train your mind. How do you do that? Use these seven mindsets. So on Monday, I want you to write, I live, love, and lead from a secure identity. and then put some thoughts underneath that. Put at least 3 to 5 statements that you need to know. And you can use mine. Again, if you're going through the coaching, you'll get it. If you want to get it, email me. Just chrismcallister.com, one of each letter in the last name. Let me know you want it. But Monday, I live, love, and lead from a secure identity. Then write 3 to 5 sentences underneath that that describe that for you and what it means to have that kind of mindset. Tuesday, I have faced my fear and found abundance. Same thing with the statements. Wednesday, I am here now. Same thing with the statements. Thursday, I am centered and focused. Get some statements under that. Friday, I release trying to control what you think of me. Statements under that. Saturday, I throw the party I want to join. Sunday, I stop self-sabotaging behaviors. And you then have now the 7 mindsets that will make you a resilient leader, so that you can create reality. It's not just going to happen. You got to be ready. And then make some time each day. Put it on your calendar for just 2 minutes is all it takes. 2 to 5 minutes. Read these. I've been doing this for years. Now all of this is just a part of me. It's so much a part of me. Actually, I took these 7 mindsets and flipped them into 7 mistakes. Wrote a book on it. If you want that, thewriterbook.com, R-I-D-E-R, book.com, thewriterbook.com. I took these 7 mindsets and made them mistakes and then did a parable, a narrative around it. So I go deeper there. And listen, if you're listening to this and you don't have the finances to get that, it's on Amazon, shoot me an email. I'll send you a digital copy. I just want you to be helped by this because I know that when you train your mindset, you're ready in the moment to create reality. Leaders create reality. Ah, what a beautiful way to live. So I hope you're motivated to take this action. Let me know if I can help. Have an awesome time creating reality. Put in the hard work to cultivate that mindset. The fundamentals aren't always sexy, but they don't have to be boring. You can enjoy cultivating that mindset by training your mind, and then you're ready to create reality. Peace.